Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 4 through 7. I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More with Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining us today is Kentucky adoptive mom and author of the book Peace in the Process, How Adoption Built My Faith and My Family, Kristen Taylor. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you with us, and I'm just so thankful that you're willing to be on and share your family's adoption stories with us. So let's start at the beginning. You and your husband, Greg, have three children by adoption. Kate is 10, Ben is 8, and Rachel is 2. And you adopted all three of them domestically, locally, in your own town. So what led you to adopt?
Well, honestly, we just assumed after a few years of marriage, we'd conceive children and just life would continue happening. But God had other plans and we were not able to conceive after a few years of trying. So God led us to adoption just as we thought through some boundaries and how maybe the fertility treatments weren't what God had for us. And so just as we worked through all that, He led us to adoption with a desire to grow our family that way. So it was a hard season, but as soon as we surrendered the way we thought our family would be built, we had so much peace and we knew that God wanted us to do it this way, even though we had no idea what adoption would look like for us or all that the paperwork and all the decisions that go into that. We didn't even know what that looked like, but we still had peace that God had led us there.
Hmm. So your daughter, Kate, came home first in 2007. So share with us about her adoption.
Sure. A couple months after we decided not to pursue the fertility treatments, we were at my family's Christmas, and my sister said, I know a girl who would like to talk to you about adoption. And so, you know, we're like, oh, okay, that'll be exciting. We, again, so naive, no idea what we were getting into. But a few conversations later, we had talked with an 18-year-old girl who lived in Indiana at the time, and we talked through her desires and our desires, and we committed to an adoption plan with her. So here we were with a birth mom of our daughter, and we didn't have a home study that's required for adoption. We hadn't talked to an attorney or a social worker, so we kind of came about it in a backward, not the usual way, but we felt God's hand on the whole situation. So we pursued all the paperwork and all the requirements that go into that, and Kate was actually born less than 9 months after we surrendered our desire to become pregnant. And so it was just such affirmation from God that He intended for us to build our family this way.
Hmm. So through that time, though, you began to really develop a relationship with the birth mom, correct?
We did, yes. Since we had met her individually, that's what's called a private adoption in the domestic adoption world. But we went to appointments with her, and we would take her to lunch, and we just really got to know her as our daughter's birth mom, but also just as a person, who she was, what she liked to do, and just she was 18 and had a lot of dreams for herself. And so we just really got to develop a relationship with her and help pour into her life in more than just the adoption
part of it. Yeah. So, so it was a private domestic adoption, but it's also what is called an open adoption. So Kate has actually met her birth mom.
She has. She was about six when, life circumstances had us in the same place. We knew we both were going to be, in the same city. And so we just talked about it. She was willing and interested in meeting Kate, and I felt like Kate was at a good age to meet her. Kate's pretty black and white, her personality, you know, she just pretty matter of fact about things. So, it ended up being a really great experience, just as far as, Kate learning more about her own story and her being able to really latch on to some of those details.
Wow. So when Kate was 2 years old, though, you pursued adoption again, this time bringing home Ben. Tell us about that.
That's right. When she was getting right around two, you know, we just kind of like, okay, well, we'd like to do this again. But we assumed we'd have to go to an agency because that's how domestic adoptions often happen. So we chose an agency, and we're in the process of applying and going through that whole process when our local attorney who had finalized Kate's adoption called us and told us he knew of a local woman who was pregnant with a boy and was looking for a family to adopt him. She was about halfway through her pregnancy, and we were like, so excited about the possibility and so hesitant about the possibility just because we live in a small town. It's 20,000 people. My husband grew up here. We know a lot of people, and we just didn't want to make it awkward for her or for a child. We just, you know, we didn't know how a local adoption would look. So we went ahead and met with the agency that we had chosen to work with, and we're really excited about that possibility too. But as we were there talking to them about what was going on in our life, it became very clear that we just needed to trust God with this local adoption. So we came home and talked to her some more, and she was on board with everything we were saying, and we just committed to her to, you know, protect her privacy and everything. And so we pursued that, and our son, Finn, was born a couple months later. The hospital was a couple blocks from our house. You know, it was convenient considering we had a two-year-old, and it just, God lined up a whole bunch of variables in a way that only he could do.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. Incredible. So yeah. A few years later, you did it again. You adopted Rachel. Tell us Rachel's story.
Well, when Ben was a toddler, preschooler, the desire to grow our family again was there. And we pursued some different things. We talked to a couple different agencies. We updated our home study. So if we learned of a situation, we'd be ready from a paperwork standpoint. And we just kept meeting closed doors. Like, we weren't connecting with the agencies like we wanted to. We just, situations that came our way ended up not going the adoption direction. And so we were like, well, maybe this is just our desire and it's not God's desire for our family. So we kind of had to lay it down like we did with the infertility season. It kind of started feeling like that again. Like, were we trying to make something happen that's not supposed to happen? So after a couple years of just trying different things, we said, okay, we're going to live our life with these two amazing kids God has given us, and we're going to just serve our community and do what the other things God has given us to do. And in 1 week, a few different friends asked us if we were still interested in adoption. And we were, we were always like, yes, we are always. And, so one of those situations ended up being a local woman who was about 14 weeks pregnant. She called me on the phone, a friend connected us, and she was asking me questions about adoption. I thought she was asking me questions just to gain knowledge for herself so she could make a decision. So I was kind of talking about it in general terms, and I was telling her a little bit about our experiences, but mostly just about what adoption could look like in general for her. And so toward the end of the conversation, I asked her if there's anything else she would like to know or anything else, any other resources I could provide for her or anything like that. And she says, well, I have an ultrasound appointment next week if you'd like to come. And I was wow. like, okay, she wants us to adopt her baby. And so my perspective of this conversation we were having totally changed. And we set a time to meet a couple days later. And I called my husband was at work. It was during the day or whatever. And I called him and I said, I think I might have met our next child's birth mom today on the phone. And so it was such a just an enormous blessing from God, because we had kind of surrendered our desire and we weren't sure what he wanted for our family, size-wise or whatever. So God just orchestrated another beautiful story. And that birth mom was also local. So we were just reminded how God builds on what he's already done in people's lives. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we didn't have the hesitation and the fear that we had with Ben's adoption, just because we knew a local adoption could be such a wonderful relationship and ministry opportunity.
Wonderful. Incredible story. God truly does set the lonely into families. He puts children into the families right where he wants them. So that is just incredible. I want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is Kentucky adoptive mom and author of the book, Peace in the Process, How Adoption Built My Faith and My Family, Kristen Taylor. So, Kristen, prospective adoptive parents might hear the term open adoption. Your three domestic local adoptions, private adoptions, are open adoptions, and that's where the birth mom or the birth parents can have some kind of connection and contact with the adoptive family and the child. So, has that been a positive experience? Can you explain open adoption for our listeners?
Sure. Like I said earlier, when we got into adoption before Kate was born, we wouldn't have known what that meant. And the situations God brought to our lives by nature were open. With the way we connected with the birth moms was open from the very beginning. So that's pretty much all we know. But I have since learned a lot more about adoption, and I know there are many different reasons for having closed or semi-open adoption. If with ours being open, the birth moms know our names, they know generally where we live. Some of them have my phone number. I'm Facebook friends with a couple of them. It just kind of we have a relationship like you'd have with a friend or a family member or whatever. Even though all three of ours are open adoptions, they are all open to different degrees. Like we talked about earlier, Kate has met her birth mom. She met her that first time when she was six, and she's been with her a couple other times. Ben's birth mom and I have a relationship. She'll sometimes send me updates about her life. She recently has been going through a hard time, and she contacted me and just asked me to pray for her about some specific things. And so we're able to do that for her, which is important. And I think it's part of how God sets the lonely in families. Not only did he set our children in our families, but he's given these birth moms people who are on their side too, whether it's praying for them or, you know, having interaction as you all go about your lives or whatever. You know, I mean, these adoptions have provided them with an extra layer of support too. So Ben has not met her. I do think if the time came when he was interested in knowing more about his story, I think she'd be willing. So he's just a different personality than Kate. He's a boy. He's younger. He knows his story, but he hasn't expressed interest in wanting to meet her yet. But I'm glad that I have the relationship with her in case he does, so that option is available. Rachel is younger. She's only two right now, but I had a lot of contact with her birth mom right after her birth. We spent the most time together in the hospital with Rachel. We met for lunch a few times in Rachel's first year of life. I think we saw her about five times, and I've seen her a couple times since. So I don't know what their relationship is going to look like down the road, but I do have that relationship with her birth mom, so we can navigate that as Rachel gets older and as her birth mom settles into her own life.
How about the kids? How have the kids adjusted? Because Kate has met her birth mom on a couple of occasions. How has that impacted her?
First of all, we tell our children they're adopted. I mean, they all know that word, you know, from the very beginning. We talk about it. We talk about it because it's such a huge part of our family's testimony, and just of our lives. And so we talk about it as they grow older. We talk about the details or, you know, the different questions they have. But I think they've adjusted well. I think that one of the beautiful things about open adoption is that we were able to show Kate, you know, we love this woman, not only for giving you life, but for just the relationship we have with her. And, you know, we were able to share our perspective of who she is as a person with her. So I think, or at least I'm hoping, it will give Kate some confidence as she does grow up. And I know the teenage years are what they are, regardless of if you're adopted or not. So just as she's finding her identity and working through her own relationship with Christ, I hope that the fact that we've been open to her about her adoption story and that we've been able to share her birth mother with her, that gives her some confidence in what God's done in her life.
Well, it definitely helps her to not have missing pieces to the puzzle. And
exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book for a second here. Peace in the Process, How Adoption Built My Faith and My Family. So share with us how adoption built your faith.
Sure. Like I said earlier, we just assumed we'd have biological kids and kind of, you know, we had this ideal of what things should be like. So early on and just wanting to have a family, God just really had to teach me about surrender and his plans. And I'm so grateful he did, because I love that we've gotten to adopt. Like, it's something I never planned on, just because I didn't know anything about it. But it's been one of the best things that's ever happened in my life, not only because it made me a mom, but just because it changed my relationship with God. I have such a clearer picture of what my own spiritual adoption into God's family means. I know that, you know, when we went to court to finalize our kids' adoptions, they didn't have to do anything. It's just part of who they are. We chose them. They're in our wills. We give them our name. And that's what God does for us. And so to go through it with these earthly adoptions just showed me so much how God chooses us, how he adopts us, how he has an inheritance for us, and that our identity is truly in being part of his family. So that just kind of shook my faith in such a good way that it kind of made me reevaluate my own identity and just what that meant for my life. So one of the things that practically came out of that was just how our eyes were open to the local needs in our community. With two of our birth moms living right here, we just saw that there were different needs that we didn't even know really existed, or at least we were pretty removed from. Rachel's birth mom lived like 0.7 miles from us, and we both have since moved a little, so we live a little farther apart. But it just showed me right here in one small town how there's just so many different kinds of families and so many different needs. And so one way we've been able to pour back into the community to help meet some of those needs is I volunteer one morning a week at the Pregnancy Resource Center, and I'm able to work with some moms who are in hard places but want to have more spiritual knowledge and more life skills so that they can better provide for the child or the children that they have. And they're able to acquire some skills and talk through things, and then they earn points and they shop for material needs, clothing, diapers for their children. So that kind of cause was close to my heart before adoption, but adoption just really changed my perspective of just the needs, and that God's provided for us so that we're able to help provide for other people.
Yeah. What about your church? Has adoption impacted your church?
It has. We go to a small non-denominational church, and right in our one congregation, there are kids who are adopted from Liberia and China and Nepal. And then our domestically adopted children, and then there's a foster family as well. And just as different families have brought home these different children, we again wanted to meet some needs that we all saw as we were walking through our own adoptions. And so we have an adoption grant program where we do fundraisers, and there's a special fund of money set up where people outside of our church congregation, but throughout the state of Kentucky, they can apply for our grant, and then we're able to give them a little financial assistance and some prayer support, just because we know that's one of the hardships with adoption sometimes is the financial element. So we wanted to just be able to come along some families and help them that way. And with that, we also have an orphan ministry where we do some different projects or different events that help either local children in need, or we partner with a couple different orphanages so that we're just able to, again, pour out of how we've been blessed to serve people that we know might need something.
Mm. And what about your community? Adoption has impacted your community. Can you tell us about that?
It has. When we got into adoption, I don't know that we knew anyone, at least not very closely, that had adopted, other than the couple families from our church. So we didn't know many people who'd pursued domestic adoption for sure. So I prayed early on that God would just use our story to encourage other families. My husband and I both just felt like that's part of God's faithfulness, is to be able to share it with other people and testify to what he's done in our lives. And so as we were willing to share our story, just in conversations with people, God really put together a community of people who had adopted or wanted to adopt. And so we have an adoption group here. It's called Adoption Together, and we meet once a month for lunch, and we bring our kids, you know, some of them homeschool or some of them you know, we have small toddlers and preschoolers, and then some of our older kids are in school. So we'll just bring whoever we have that day, and we'll meet. Sometimes we meet at my house, sometimes we meet at a restaurant, and we just talk. We talk about adoption. We talk about other parenting things. We talk about marriage and life and just whatever. But it's that connection, because we all understand the adoption process. It's just such a bond, and it's created some really great friendships, not only for us moms, but also for our children. They know other kids who are adopted, and then some of the families have biological and adopted kids. So it's just such a beautiful mixture of different stories of how God built these families, and it's so great to be able to share in that together. And then out of that group came a Facebook support group where we have adoptive moms from all over, and it's so neat to see people share prayer requests about something they're going through, or they'll ask for advice on a specific situation, and other moms will be able to come alongside them and say, here's what, you know, I experienced, or here's a resource or a book or a ministry that was helpful to me. And it's just a reminder that we don't have to do this life alone. And that applies to anything, not just adoption, but it's one way that God's really used our story for His glory.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Yes.
And it's a joy to have you on and to hear your story. Our listeners can find your book. Kristen's book is Peace in the Process, How Adoption Built My Faith and My Family, by author Kristen Taylor. You can find it on Amazon. It's available paperback and Kindle. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode of Orphans No More, you can find more of them on our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We seek to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. And you can contact me again at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.